Talk Zone presents the Youth Sports Fan Forum with your host, the coach, John Cone. This is the show that covers all topics relating to the wonderful world of sports our kids play. Here's your host for the Youth Sports Fan Forum, the coach, John Cone.
And we do welcome you to edition number 2 of the Youth Sports Fan Forum. Brand new show here on the TalkZone.com. If you're a first-time listener, we much appreciate your joining us. We are doing the show out of the fine city of Chicago. It's a beautiful, beautiful autumnal Thursday. You like that choice of words? Danny Sternfield in the house. We have with us Danny Sternfield joining us on today's show, a man who certainly was prolific at youth sports, I'm sure, at a young age.
It's good to be here, Coach. It's a new show, new venture. I think it's a worthwhile topic that we should, you know, that we can get into, one that's relevant to a lot of a lot of people out there, coaches, directors, league officials, etc.
Yeah, we're kind of taking a shot at it. I don't know that there's been a lot of radio shows out there that have concentrated strictly on the youth sports, so we're not going to hit the high school angle too much. But we're going to try to concentrate on that K through 8 age group that so many kids participate. So many parents are so wrapped up into, and that's one of the issues we'll talk about. And, are we too wrapped up into our kids' youth sports? Everything from your basic house league up to competitive traveling teams and everything in between. And I don't want it to, I want it to be kind of a looser format. We're going to get some experts on, but I don't want the whole show, Danny, to be, we're interviewing the director of this association and, you ask him five or six dry questions. We might do a little bit of that, but what I want to hear is from the people out there, people such as yourselves, the entertaining stories, funny stories, controversial things. We'll certainly do a little back and forth on questions and answers, give out any advice that we can, and that's what we'll try and do here at the Youth Sports Fan Forum. Again, taking a chance, hopefully it works.
Yeah, I think it's, like you said, it's a hot-button issue that's been in the news, as time is kind of evolved. Youth sports has become more and more, noteworthy and pressure packed and all the things you talked about with drama and there's arguments back and forth about keeping it light and how serious one should take it. At what age should you get into it? At what age should you be, getting more committed or getting your kids more committed? So anything's welcome. We want to make it interactive. 888-463-6748. 888-463-6748.
People can email us to YSFanForum. YSFanForum at AOL.com.
YSFanForum. We can take your emails during the show. We want to, we want to hear wherever you are in the country or the world what your thoughts are. It could be general. It could be specific. We're going to kind of learn as we go here and take the show in whatever direction that we see fit and, based on what you all want to talk about.
Last week in our very first edition of the hopefully soon-to-be-famous Youth Sports Fan Forum, Laugh Track, thank you very much. By the way, our producer for the show, my bodyguard, David Olson, doing a great job on the other side of the glass. But week one, we brought up the Little League World Series, which is, certainly one of the shining lights, maybe the people that would argue maybe we've gone too far on youth sports. Remember, they used to just televised the championship game, right?
Right. Now they're all the way into the super regionals.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, depending on which side of the fence you sit on, absolutely let us know, what your thought is. Do you think it's one of the, like you said, Coach, one of the shining examples of how good youth sports can be? Or do you think it's one of the examples to point at when talking about much too early?
And a lot of the parents, the kids love it. The kids love the TV coverage. They do love the TV coverage, but is it good for them? It's the same thing when I would talk to some of these intense travel basketball coaches. And by the way, at times I'm one of those intense travel basketball coaches. So I fall into that trap sometimes. Or I remember when I was coaching at Notre Dame High School. And we would deal, Danny, with a lot of the Catholic junior highs, trying to recruit some of the players, which is a whole other sickness, by the way, trying to recruit junior high kids. But a lot of these Catholic schools have dads, parents coaching the team. They're not governed, and maybe that's the wrong choice of words, like some of the public schools are, and they basically take their junior high basketball teams, and they're playing like 70 or 80 games a season. Five or six tournaments playing from October until March, and I would talk to the coaches. Don't you think that's a little too? The kids love it. Oh, the kids are having a great day.
Right.
Enjoy it. Well, and they do.
I mean, youth baseball is the same thing. They play 70, 80, 90. They play Major League Baseball equivalent seasons.
The intense travel teams do. We don't want to make a generalization, but you're right. But here's what I would argue back. And again, 888-463-6748. Your thoughts here on youth sports, with the issue we're dealing with right now. Are we too competitive? Are we too intense at too early of an age? Here's what I would tell some of those coaches. Well, you know what? The kids also would like to eat 5 candy bars a day. Right?
Right.
And the kids would also like to stay up at till midnight every single
night. Miss school
but
twice
you,
a week.
You as an adult, you as a parent, know what's better for them. We're playing 80 games, so the kids love it. They're enjoying it. Well, they do, but it's not in their best interest. They're playing basketball 80 games, and now they're not getting many other activities that maybe they could be involved in. So the adult,
and
I would
make
argue...
to make them more well-rounded and things like that. And another issue is whose responsibility is that? We know that it's not the kid's responsibility.
Right.
A 9-year-old's not going to be able to determine, if he, like you said, if he has his druthers, he's playing every day. End of story. I'm playing all day, every day. No school. But as a parent or a league director, mm-hmm. is it your responsibility to be dictating, you know, how much is enough?
Mm-hmm.
How much is too much?
Yep. YSFanForum@AOL.com is our email. Our phone number, 888-463-6748. The number real quick. Let's go out to the phone line. Brand new show here on the TalkZone.com, the Youth Sport Fan Forum out to Northbrook, Illinois. We go, and it's caller Mark. Check it in, Big Mark!
Hey, guys. Great show. So glad you're doing it. I've got a few topics I think your listeners and you will find interesting.
Keep it clean. This is a family show, Mark.
Very clean. But first thing is, just on the topic that you were talking about, I run a youth football league with about 300 kids. It's probably what you guys would describe over the top. You know, I've got coaches. We're still playing. We're in the playoffs. I've got like 8 teams, and a couple of them are in mm-hmm. the national playoffs. If they win, they go to Florida.
The director, not a coach, right?
I'm actually both. Okay. I coach just one of the 8 teams. But you know, so anyway, so I take to heart, and I'm also one of these crazy old basketball coaches like you, JC, travel and all that with the little kids. But I'll tell you, I've heard you speak to this, which is that, you know, for a lot of kids, they get really wrapped up in youth sports, and then when they get to high school, they're not able to continue to play. For various reasons, but one of which is the competitive nature of it is such that, you know, the reality is they cut in high school, and a lot of the kids are crushed by the fact that they're not even able to play a sport at a competitive type level once they get to the age of, you know, 14 years old. So that actually, if you think about it, speaks to sort of excusing the fact that, you know, these kids do play a lot of games, whether it's basketball or football or baseball, and the parents, you know, some of them are way into it, maybe more than they should, but what about all the life lessons that these kids are supposed to get out of this, the discipline, the education? I mean, you know, for those of us that played youth sports, we remember our coaches and the lessons we learned. We probably don't remember the scores of the game so much, mm-hmm. maybe not at all. And well, so I would say to you that perhaps it's not such a bad thing that there's, you know, there's enough passionate people having these youth sports and all these games and long seasons and whatnot.
First of all, you mentioned that we would consider it over the top. I don't consider what you described in your organization over the top. He talked about them playing in teams playing in playoffs, some of the national playoffs. Now, if you go on to tell me you practice, you do 2-a-days and you practice, you know, 6 days a week in addition to games, you know, and these kids are under 12, yes, that's over the top. But I wouldn't consider what you do over the top. And I agree completely. There are a lot of life lessons that can be taken away from youth sports. I mean, teamwork, cooperation, following instructions, discipline. So I would cite those, as you do, as major advantages of youth sports and things that, you know, things are in the corner of programs like yours. So I wouldn't necessarily, you know, say that we're discounting that. We're just saying, you know, where is the line? I mean, at what point are those issues overtaken by, you know, by excess, meaning
right.
too much practice time or too much pressure? Now, you know, you touched on something which I think is important. A lot of kids, as they get older, they're going to experience the feeling of getting cut. It's just a part of sports. Not everyone can play, or even if they do make the team, not playing. And what you do and youth sports, there's more of an emphasis on participation, at least at the house league level. So I think that's important to identify, as you did.
Right, right. And I am actually talking about travel sports, but take a travel sport like basketball, where when you get to high school, if you're not 6 feet, it's a little difficult to even make teams, mm-hmm. at least at the larger high schools. So for these kids who are in fourth, fifth, sixth grade, and maybe they're in one of these leagues like Small Fry or one of these AU type, you know, more competitive leagues, well, they're at least able to make the teams, and they might do some traveling and perhaps even some excessive practicing. But the reality, and you see the parents, you know, going crazy over their fifth grade kid, you know, winning some kind of trophy or some kind of championship. But the reality is, for those kids, that's it. That's the pinnacle of their athletic career is sixth grade.
Yeah, that's an interesting angle coming from Northbrook Mark. And again, if you're out there listening, brand new show, Youth Sports Fan Forum. We want it to be interactive. We want to hear from you. Our phone lines are open, 888-463-6748. You can email us, ysfanforum@aol.com. But Mark, an interesting angle, one as involved as I've been that I haven't thought of, and that usually it's the reverse, where you're thinking these kids that are in travel get so burned out at age 9, 10, 11, 12, by the time they're in high school, they may not be interested in playing. But you bring up an interesting angle that some of these kids won't be good enough to play in high school, and this is their one chance to wear the nice uniforms, to travel to a tournament, to play other teams from other communities they might not get in high school. Interesting angle. Good point, my friend.
Right. It's something they'll remember for the rest of their life. And I'll bring up just one more thing I think you might find interesting. There's
Please don't bring up my basketball career.
No. This is totally different.
I thought maybe you did some biographical research.
On my website, we're the Trevian Football League. So it's called trevianfootball.com. But I've got on the website, there's a study that the Mayo Clinic did, which is a heck of a medical organization.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a true medical survey, which shows that youth tackle football has less injuries per capita than youth soccer and youth baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that probably a lot of people, when they're thinking about what sport they want to play and the dangers involved, probably don't believe that, but that's a fact.
Yeah, I've heard that before. You got a lot of parents, maybe not as knowledgeable, Danny, just on basic look, basic instinct.
Sure.
I don't want my son to play football. There are more injuries in soccer. I've heard that many times.
Well, it's like you said about the baseball. You got this hard ball, you know, coming right at you. And football, that you know, the kids have got a helmet on, so that changes a lot.
That's a good point. I think that you're right. That's a common misconception. Parents think football danger, and at the youth level, not at the high school level, at the youth level, you know, like Mark said, there's actually less injury in football than there is in some of the other sports.
I worry sometimes in soccer. We'll move on. Hey, real quick, Northbrook Mark, if people want to find out more, throw your website out there in the Chicago area. You're interested in
Trevian Football, TREVIAN football.com. Check it out.
Beautiful. Mark, we appreciate the call.
Good luck, guys.
Spread the word on the show if you would.
Will do.
God bless you. Northbrook Mark checking in. You can too. 888-463-6748. Mark drops off and leaves only 11 other lines open. Hey, when that happens. And don't forget our email, ysfanforum.com. I've coached soccer, getting more and more into soccer. And I worry, and I've seen a couple of shows, Brian Gumbel's show, which is very good, Real Sports.
Real Sports on HBO.
Yeah, they did a segment a couple of years ago on the head balls. And, you know, I'm not worried about the little pop-up kick where you head it, but those deep, long kicks, the kids try to head it on the first shot.
Headers into the goal when they try to head it.
Off a corner kick?
Yeah.
The farther the kick is, the higher up it is, the more I worry. And a lot of times I will tell the young kids I'm coaching, you know what, let it bounce and then head it. Now, I know you're not going to get that out of a high school varsity player, but concussions from heading the soccer ball, there's been some studies on that. That's the whole concussion thing now. That's a major emphasis.
Sure. I wouldn't think that headers would be a cause of it, but I guess at the youth sports level, at the very young level, like you're saying, I can see that the impact of a soccer ball on the child's head could cause that, as opposed to, like you said, high school and above, you're more fully grown.
Now, I did play some youth soccer in 2 years of high school soccer, Danny, and you can see that it certainly didn't affect my brain power.
No, you don't seem concussed to me.
Waiting for a sound effect from our producer, David Olson. There's so many options you could have. I left him a gap. Left him an opening to take a shot at the coach there and being the nice guy. Either that or he's asleep and totally disinterested in the show. One of the two. I prefer to think that it's the former. But looking at him now, I think it's the latter. Dave's giving me that look. Youth Sports Fan Forum, so many issues to talk about. Tackle football, taking him to Florida. Age 12 or 13.
Yeah,
Pop Warner stuff.
You know, I mean, that's...
They go to Disney World, right?
Yeah, maybe
there's
for the
whole...
playoffs or finals. I mean, what he was talking about was going to the playoffs and taking the teams nationally, you know, to tournaments and determining kind of the...
At age 12.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It seems like a little much, but...
I would love to hear from any of our listeners out there, by the way. If anybody taken a team, and I've heard nothing but the best down in Disney World, apparently, I think you're aware, Danny, they built...
A complex.
Six, 7, 8 years ago, maybe? Just a huge sports complex. It's part of Disney World, right? And I haven't seen it, but apparently it's just enormous, and they run national tournaments, giant youth tournaments. They'll invite these teams down. Obviously, it's a win-win situation. They get more business for Disney World, too. It's part vacation, part sports experience.
Great facility.
But you have not been down there, I would assume.
No, but I think I know what you're talking about with that. With I want to say Big League Dreams Park, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe that's another...
The basketball gym, I think, has got like 10 courts. I heard it's like bi-level. So there's like 5 games going on up top, 5 down below. You run these huge youth tournaments. I would love any of our listeners that have taken a team down there. Maybe your kids have played on a team that have gone down there. Paint the picture for us. It sounds completely cool. 888-463-6748. The phone number here on the Youth Sports Fan Forum. David Olson, our producer. Can we sneak in one more call, Dave, or do we have to take a break? Dave's giving me a thumb up. Not sure that was his thumb. He was giving me something that's up. All right, out to Glencoe, Illinois we go. We're checking in with Philip, who's calling in. Philip, welcome to the TalkZone.com, my friend.
Thank you very much. Great show.
Well, we're just getting started. It's not a great show yet, Philip, but with the help from people like yourselves, we hope that we can, you know, build something.
We're getting there.
It's a brand new entity, but we appreciate the compliment.
Sure, good luck.
Thank you, Philip.
Yeah, first of all, I just want to say that guy Mark that was on the phone, I know his football program, and I can only highly recommend what they do there. My kids don't play in it, but mm-hmm. I know of it, and the Trevian football program that he runs, it's really top-notch.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to just say something quickly about the soccer and heading the ball and kids when they're playing. I do a lot of soccer coaching. My kids have played soccer, both recreationally and competitively, and I coached in high school. And one of the things that concerns me is there's really not enough discussion about the strength that a soccer player needs to have in order to be able to head a ball without causing injuries other than, the concussions or slight concussions.
So you're talking the neck and the spine take some of the pressure also.
Yeah, and that does happen. The gentleman that's on the show with you there mentioned, you know, coming in from corner kicks. Well, you know, you got to kind of twist your body a bit. Your neck's got to snap a little bit. And one thing I try to do is keep players that haven't gone through puberty. So, in other words, haven't bulked up and built up their necks and their shoulders to mm-hmm. a certain degree. I try to tell them, you know, you might want to be careful about heading some of the balls that you're heading right mm-hmm. now.
Now, you have to be careful of doing that as a group, Phil. If you're a coach, you can't, like, bring the guys over. All right, those of you that haven't hit puberty, over to the left. Those of you that have, over to the right. You guys can head the ball. You're talking about taking them aside and talking to them.
Yeah, taking them aside. And actually, it'd be best if coaches knew about this. And
yes.
It would be wonderful if parents knew.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole other subject. Getting back to... what you were talking about in terms of whether, you know, kids play competitively or not competitively, are we getting involved at too young an age in some real competitive stuff? And that certainly is happening. One of the pieces that I think is really important, but I think we're a long way off from having this happen, is that I think it's really important for parents to be able to watch their kid, you know, and especially these 8, 9, 10-year-old kids who don't have the words to talk, to walk over to the sideline and say to mom and dad, you know, I'm burned out. I mean, these kids don't know that stuff.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying, Philip, keep parents keeping an eye on their, kind of watching their kids a little closer, watching their body language, watching
their
expressions.
Language. Thank you. That's exactly it right there.
Maybe we're in like August of the season and, you know, he's looking at their kids and saying, you know what? I just told my kid that he's got a baseball game tonight at 5 o'clock and he's on the couch with his first expression to me was, oh my God.
You know what's sad, Phil, is when, you know, sports is something you look forward to. Okay. It should be, you know, the highlight of the day. When you play like the travel baseball teams, when you take these kids that are so excited about sport and you start playing five games a week, it's almost like it takes the thrill out of game night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here we go again, you know, Tuesday night, and now we got to play on Wednesday night. So that, I think that's one of the saddest things of all at any level in sports is when you play so much and you lose, you know, the nerves that I'm talking about. You think about it even as a coach or a parent, which you apparently are. You get those nerves during the day. You're at work, but you're thinking of the game at night. When you lose the feeling of looking forward to it and it becomes, I don't want to say like a job, but, you know, it's just another night, that's kind of sad, and I think that's a little bit of what you're talking about.
Yeah, there's that. That certainly is, you know, what drives some of the burnout. But for parents to be able to, you know, like, you know, notice when the kid is reluctant to go to practice or mm-hmm. If they're on the field and they're playing, that, you know, they just seem to not really get engaged in the play. That, you know, as the ball's moving around on the field and it comes closer to them, somehow magically they manage to not touch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So there are indications that I think parents, if they kind of learn what some of them are and really look out for them, mm-hmm. they can help their kid and talk to them about, you know, well, gee, you know, is everything okay with what's going on out there on the soccer field? It seems like you just kind of didn't want to play. And often the kid will be somewhat defensive when the parent brings that up because the parent knows, or mm-hmm. the kid knows, that the parent wants them out there and performing.
Yep.
It's a delicate subject, and it's something that I think parents, you know, we really need the parents to become better educated about.
All right. And hopefully, Danny, we'll get some parents that tune into this program. We're trying to publicize as best we can. But, Glencoe Phillip, maybe you've said some words, and we'll get some parents out there that are listening to the program, not only in the Chicago area, but as you know now via the Internet, we are being heard in 7 different continents and also parts of Nevada and Utah as well.
That's great.
Which
well,
many people say
show.
Are like the 8th continent. Philip, we appreciate the call, and thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Beautiful. Philip, checking in. You can, too. 888-463-6748. Real quick before the break, Danny, we asked for one of our callers to paint the picture a little bit of what that sports complex is down in Disney World. I think you and me as true professionals, I don't know if the Talk Zone will pay for it. I think we need to go down there and visit it, strictly from a business standpoint.
Absolutely. That's a legitimate expense.
All right, let's go out to the phone lines real quick. Caller Mike checking in. Mike, you have participated. Your son or daughter has played down there?
Yeah, I've even coached down there. And,
really?
It's called the Milk House, the basketball facility there at what they call it, Disney's Wild World of Sport.
Wow, the Milk House.
And they've got 4 courts down on the floor. They've got 2 on the upper level.
Mm-hmm.
And you take the kids down there, and they've got tournaments almost every week, all kinds, baseball, football, basketball. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
is it well organized, and how hard is it for the kids to concentrate?
Well,
you know, they're there on vacation. They got the whole Disney World thing as
I'll
a coach.
You,
is it hard to get the kids focused?
Right. The experience that we have is with Small Fry Basketball, and the Small Fry organization takes over the facility, and they organize the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids go down there. They're from Puerto Rico and from the East Coast and the Midwest, and it's just an experience of a lifetime. The kids just love it.
Mm-hmm. And I would assume they set up some things where the kids get to meet each other and talk to each other.
They do, and they trade jerseys at the end of it, and the kids, you know, trade. Nowadays, of course, you got the IM thing going on, and you know they keep in touch with each other. And
so there's an example, Danny, of our first caller, I think Northbrook Mark. Rightfully talking about some of the wonderful things you can learn through sports beyond how to throw a ball
and
how to pitch a ball. These kids are getting to meet kids from other countries, other states, and learning from those
experiences. I think he touched on it. They exchange information. They communicate these days. You communicate on the computer a lot,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they make friends maybe for life. And that's an advantage, one, that wasn't available years ago with youth sports. And two, I think that's just a positive of these type of experiences.
Mike, okay. if me and Danny head down there, would you back us up as a legitimate expense here at the TalkZone.com?
Well, it'll be all expense paid trip for you. Stay with the kids in the hotel. You'd love it.
We may have you talk to our lead guy here, the Commander-in-Chief, Chris Whitting. I don't know if he's going to do it, but with the help from people like yourself, Mike, me and Danny might be doing next week's show live from Orlando, Florida.
Right. By the way, I want you guys to know I'm one of the coaches for the Trevian football.
Okay.
And that I'm an assistant, but the head coach is a former Bear. He played for, I think, the last 6 years, been in the NFL for about 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
Name's Fred Miller, and
yeah.
He's coaching the team. And this team, last year they went to Florida for the national tournament. That's part of AYF, not Pop Warner. It's actually the largest league in the country.
Mm-hmm.
It's in all 50 states. Anyway, and these boys, because I heard you say, well, you weren't sure if 12-year-olds, that might be too young. This was an 8- and 9-year-old team.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a parent or a kid that didn't want to do it again and didn't have a wonderful time. And frankly, they probably learned more that week about themselves and things than mm-hmm. they would have learned in school. So
yeah, I see both sides of that one. I do see the positive side, but you know, and again, listeners out there, 888-463-6748, 8- and 9-year-old kids traveling to Florida to play in a tournament. In this case, it's football. I guess one of the negatives, and again, Mike, keep in mind, I see a lot of positives. We talked about them. One of the negatives might be too much too soon if they experience that at age 8, 9, or 10. Now all of a sudden they've been playing football for 4 or 5 years, and what gets them excited at age 12?
Well, I'll tell you though, you have to understand football is a different sport. They may play a total of 10 to 15 games in a year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like these other sports where they're playing every day. They're not even allowed to play consecutive days. It's a health issue. So
mm-hmm.
they really don't play that much. And yes, if they travel, that's quite an experience, but I don't know a real good argument against having fun. So
mm-hmm.
they sure do have a lot of fun while they're doing it, and they learn a little bit about football at the same time.
Beautiful. We appreciate you checking in, Mike. Great job coaching the ball club, and thank you for painting a little picture of what that Disney World Sports Complex, the basketball gym, known as the Milk House, right?
Yep.
I love that name. All right, Mike, thanks for listening. Don't be a stranger and spread the word on the show if you could.
Sure. Take care.
Beautiful. Mike checking in. You can too.
888. A lot of love from Glencoe today.
463-6748. I love that name, the Milk House.
The Milk House is probably sponsored by
it's got the
two
whole,
a day or something.
The whole Disney. Are you a whole milk, 2%, or skim milk guy?
I think I'm a 2%.
2%?
Yeah.
Really? I would have taken you a pretty good fitness here with Danny Sternfield, the worldwide leader, mid-30s, very active in sports. You play what, softball?
Yeah,
basketball?
I play everything, but I think I grew up on 2%, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a skim milk guy. Producer David Olson, whole milk, 2% skim milk. 1%? Wow, you're a wild and crazy guy. Maybe not that wild. All right, we'll take a quick break. TalkZone.com, Youth Sports Fan Forum. You can email us at YSFanForum@AOL.com. You can call us at 888-GO-FOR-IT. Back in about 42 seconds. Don't go anywhere.
The phone lines are open on the Youth Sports Fan Forum, 888-GO-FOR-IT. Once again, here's your host, the coach, John Cone, on TalkZone.com.
And welcome back to the TalkZone.com brand new show, week number 2, Youth Sports Fan Forum. The worldwide leader himself, Danny Sternfield, sitting in, don't forget, by the way, not just on Thursdays, but every Monday through Friday, we do a show at 10 o'clock. Central Time, called Two Guys and a Mic. It's a mid-morning sports break, kind of your typical sports show with an atypical lead into it. So we hope you can tune into that. But this show, Danny, is only on Thursdays from 11 till 12 Central Time. We thank all the listeners for tuning in, many for the first time. And we're talking about youth sports real quick, Danny, going back to your days and your days, not nearly as your youth sports days, I should say, not nearly as far back as mine, but any humorous memories? Was there a moment, like a dramatic moment that you remember that maybe had an effect on your life? And
nothing too humorous. I come from a family of six, so my parents didn't have a ton of time to be shuttling us around to various youth sport mm-hmm. events. But I was the only one who was involved in sports. I was very involved in sports.
Really? Six siblings and you were the only one?
Five siblings.
Wow.
And so six in total. And sports was my thing. And I was particularly involved in tennis. So I would go around to some tournaments. But the kind of ceiling for me was just to be able to travel to some Midwestern tournaments, some sectional events, then my parents would go with me, and mm-hmm. I just remembered it being fun. I enjoyed the time spent with them. I enjoyed the tennis. I mean, I kept it in perspective. I was a solid player, and you know, you had to be to qualify for these tournaments, but I wasn't going to be winning the tournaments. Or,
you know, speaking of tennis, have you been following Andres Agassi's story / book that is out,
sure,
but relays back to some of his youth days where, correct me if I'm wrong, basically he said he hated tennis. Was it his dad that forced him into it?
Well, his dad made him hit something like a million balls in a year. I mean, just, and that's the classic case of an overbearing parent. Now, it's interesting you mention that because, and also in tennis, some people, you know, were real, real quick to fault. And I mean, I'd be interested no pun intended, to fault Richard Williams, father of Venus and Serena, for his kind of, you know, I don't want to say obnoxiousness, but just, you know, his general attitude that was just so over the top.
To put it gently, he was hands on.
Right. And he just was determined before they were even in the womb to create tennis champions.
Yeah.
Well, here we are
similar Tiger Woods' dad, Earl Woods.
Right. Here we are 25, 30 years later, and he has done exactly that, created two tennis champions, mm-hmm. given them financial well-being, given him financial.
And the kids seem to be
both happy
Venus
and well-adjusted.
Yeah.
Now you ask the question again, was what, you know, Earl Williams, Richard Williams, was what he did wrong? You know, was he too much? Is it too much to just kind of determine in advance, I want to create an athletic champion and, mm-hmm. and make the decision for the kid. We are going to sacrifice elements of your childhood. Mm-hmm. Because here we are now, you know, with Venus and Serena both extremely successful in and out of their sport. So
now I would imagine, and again, our phone number here, 888-463-6748. If you want to check in with Danny Sternfield, the coach here on the Youth Sports Fan Forum, right up until 12 o'clock Central Time. For every Venus and Serena Williams, I'm sure you are smart enough to know there's probably 19 other stories.
Yeah, Todd Marinovich comes to mind.
Well, yeah, even ones that we don't read about in the media.
That flame out even earlier.
We hear the success stories, and now we're even hearing what we thought was a success story. Andres Agassi, maybe not quite the success it was, but there's a lot of ones that we don't hear about, don't read about. Maybe kids that weren't significantly damaged, but maybe were pushed into it, and maybe even... It's not tragic, but they lose their love of sports.
Sure, they get burnt out.
Yes.
I mean, they get burnt out. You're right. There are plenty of instances where kids just push too hard mm-hmm. and forced into it. And he, I don't want to say flame out because that's negative, but he kind of burns out, you know, of his sport. And the college scholarship is gone. Certainly any pro aspirations are gone. So, I mean, I'm interested to see what parents and our listeners think. 888-463-6748 on, you know, is it wrong? I mean, my... inclination is to say yes. Is it wrong to just determine in advance of your child even being born, here is the plan for him? Mm-hmm. We are planning for him to be an athletic champion. But people do it about doctors.
That's definitely the extreme.
Right. We're talking about the extreme. No doubt about that.
Todd Marinovich actually, over the baby crib, they had a little football, right? So the first thing that he actually reached up and touched was the little mini football. And I think they had a football in the crib. I mean, the Marinovich story is
excessive.
With a couple exclamation marks.
Sure. And the dad, right. And, you know, Todd went on to have not only problems with his sport, but off the field problems,
yes.
too, into drugs and things
think
like.
Maybe continues to have them.
Yeah. Well, his career kind of, you know, certainly ended abruptly after those problems.
Did you play youth baseball? Were you a little league guy at all?
Yeah. Yeah. I played everything. Tennis mm-hmm. was just the one I was into the most, but I definitely played a lot of youth baseball through the Park District and, I think a little travel. I played youth soccer. I played youth basketball, and my experiences were nothing but positive. You know, there were instances as that, you know, where you didn't make teams, and those hurt. But I think that can be a benefit, long-term benefit.
A couple of you're right.
You know, you learn. Listen, in life, when you get into the business world, when you get into college, things are graded on a curve. You know, I mean, the only 10% of the class gets A's. So you may have done good work, but you're not going to get an A. Or
you speak logically correct, but I will tell you this, and a couple of our callers mentioned cuts, and I kind of wanted to get into this. It is, and I'm experiencing right now with my younger son. And I've seen both ends of it. But boy, you try out for the school team. You know, 30, 40, 50, 60 kids. And in the case of basketball, they pick 12. And the kids are friends. The parents are friends. And they come down to, you know, the first cut, and you call up on the phone to find out, or you look at that sheet of paper, and the who makes the team and who doesn't, the whole cut thing, it's intense.
I'm sure.
It is raw emotion of both the best and worst kind. It really digs deep. My kid, soccer last year, he liked soccer, tried out for the seventh grade school team, did not make it. You know, so I've seen that part of it, and he kind of got turned off for soccer a little bit. He made it this year, was able to become a starter on the eighth grade team, but he's been cut from a couple teams. Basketball, he's a pretty small kid. And he made the seventh grade team last year, and this year, you know, the eighth grade team, and he's got all his buddies trying out for the team too. And, you know, they make, you know, only pick 12. You know, and he was lucky enough to make the team, so I felt so glad for him, but, you know, for the other kids that didn't make it, it's such a tough thing, and it really is. And you're right, they get over it.
But you know what? Just talking about this reminds me of specific instances, and now I'm recalling them vividly. One, where we went through the school day in about seventh grade for travel basketball, all of us friends, so nervous, huddled around a payphone at 3 o'clock, called the park district, asked the woman to read it to us, all huddled around a payphone.
Yeah. And then just, with some of the kids making it, some not, it was intense.
And then other, you know, a similar moment was when the school basketball team, where they put up, they probably do it on computer now, they put up the sheet, and the minute that sheet goes up, everyone just gathers around, and this happens in college. When you look at grades, and everyone just get, but in college they're identified by ID numbers.
Yes.
So you don't know who is who. Everyone's name, and you're looking. I remember looking at that piece of paper on the gym wall, and with a group of about eight guys, and just the range of emotions. Some guys were, just kind of slowly walk away. Other guys, and they turn to their friends, and you know, it reminds me of Major League, Tom Berenger says to Wesley Snipes, you know, just remember, don't celebrate in the clubhouse because you might be talking to a guy who just died. And he goes outside, and I mean, you're looking at that. I remember looking at that sheet and thinking to yourself, oh, this is great. But just in the back of your mind, knowing, you know, the right thing to do is not to, you know, kind of celebrate right now, because next to me is my friend for 12 years. Yep. And I don't see his name on it. And again, you could see the names. Mm-hmm. So there's no uncertainty. I mean, you see the first and last names.
And if you really love it and you don't make the team, that feeling in the gut, Danny, I mean, it's not a literal punch in the kidney or the liver, but it is figuratively. And sometimes that can even hurt more than the actual physical punch. I mean, that is a tough, tough thing to take. Any of our coaches out there, parents, any of our listeners, if you've experienced a situation where is there a better way to do it? Have you been through an experience where they've made cuts where maybe, you know what, the coach handled it pretty well? Or any experiences in that, because it is raw emotion. If you've been in youth sports and the cut situation, I think you know what we're talking about as a parent, player, coach, or whatever it might be. 888-463-6748. Would love to hear from you. Again, our email, ysfanforum.com. And you talked about how it can become a positive.
Well, I think it's important to note that when this experience happens in 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th grade, when someone tells you this is the way the rest of the life, you know, this is the way life is, they're right. Every single facet of life, there's competition.
Nobody wants to hear that message
time. But then you're your junior year and you know what? I applied to this college and my friend got in. You don't get in. Mm-hmm. Then you get into college, and certain grades and clubs and teams are selected on a tryout basis. Mm-hmm. Then you get a job, and people are passed over for promotions or given promotions or considered for jobs or given, you know, positions. I mean, that's important. Mm-hmm. And
the old expression in sports, what doesn't kill you
makes you stronger. Right.
But boy, it is a tough kick in a vital organ. I'm telling you right now. And another little thing I've experienced, which, you know, the school coaches don't know the history of the kids. See if you're with me here. And again, 888-463-6748. So you've got a kid, you know, that maybe his parents, we know this kid just loves, let's just take the sport of basketball. You could substitute any sport. And he loves it, and he's worked at it, and he's went to camps. Okay? Now you got another kid who's just, the kid happens to be a good athlete. They all mature at different ages, right? And this kid maybe didn't go out for the team a year ago, too. And he decides this year I'm going to go out for the team.
Yeah, why not? Right.
And that kid who really doesn't love that sport, in this case basketball, but he's a good athlete. The coach doesn't know the history.
Sure.
He watches 2 days, and that kid gets picked. And the kid that really loves it and has a passion for it, has worked at it, doesn't get picked. That hurts so much to see. And, again, you can't blame the coaches because they don't know the history. It's an unfairness, and I don't know that there's anything you can do about it, quite frankly. But
no, that's like you said, it's a tough pill to swallow. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you'd hope parents are there to console kids who don't make teams. And on the other end, parents are there to also say, listen, mm-hmm. you have to be humble. It's an important part of sports. Be humble. Don't celebrate in front of other people. Don't rub it in. You know, don't make other kids feel bad for not making the team, because it could just as easily be you on the other end that doesn't make a team eventually. Mm-hmm. I was, in tennis, I know it applies, you know, because you travel around to different tournaments. As good as you think you are, there's always somebody better.
Absolutely.
And what you did to this kid in a match, say you won 6-0, 6-0, mm-hmm. let's go down to Texas. And then they go down to Texas, and they run into a kid. Well, I didn't know tennis can be played that much better. Oh, it can. And they just did this to you.
Always remember the people that you – always be nice, I should say, to the people that you pass up on the ladder on the way up, because you will meet those same people on the way back down.
That's right.
Thank you very much. That's my Confucius thought. We do got a gong symbol in there somewhere. Our producer today, by the way, David Olson, brand new show, the Youth Sports Fan Forum, talking about all issues involved in youth sports. We'll do it once a week, Thursdays, 11 to 12 Central Time. We're doing the show out of the Chicago area, but we want to hear from listeners all over the country. Real quick, let's go back out to Northbrook, Illinois. Caller Mark checking in. Mark, how are you,
guys,
my friend?
Guys, I'm listening to your program, and you...
Yeah, that's a good start.
I mean, it's fine, but you missed it on this one, guys.
Uh-oh.
That when you're talking about little kids, you know, for instance, my football program, we don't cut at all. And if we get enough kids, we just, you know, have multiple teams. And if you want to speak to the idea of, you know, some kids are more talented than others mm-hmm. at young ages, well, you can always have levels.
Yeah, but Mark, we prefaced it. We were talking about school teams or travel team. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And 90% of the situations in house league or activities like that you run.
No, I disagree with you, John. Even in travel, what's the difference? If you take travel basketball and the schools, they usually, if you're in a large enough community, they have an A and a B level. So you can have more than one team. I mean, if you cut a kid, especially with girls basketball, and John, you must be aware of this. I know high school coaches like yourself at some large high schools, they can't stand youth basketball, for instance, because mm-hmm. they may cut a little girl who's probably more emotional and impressionable, perhaps, than some of the little boys, and that girl will never play basketball again. And yet she may be 7 feet. I mean, who knows, mm-hmm. you know, what these kids are going to develop into. So to put little bitty kids in the situation that you're describing where it's gut-wrenching and it's emotional mm-hmm. and it's so upsetting to them, we're talking about youth sports.
No, I completely agree. I don't think, Danny, we were talking about the little.
No, not little.
Kids.
Little
it was more
kids
like a junior high school.
Right.
No,
team.
I'm talking about junior.
Well, but a junior high school team,
grade,
Mark,
sure.
They only have so many gyms. You can't pick four teams.
That's a cop out. There's always a field or a gym. The truth is, the schools at times don't want to provide the resources because it's extra work. But you can. There's really no reason at the youth level, and I'm defining that as just below high school, not
okay.
little bitty kids,
okay.
but smaller kids. There's no reason to you know, this is still supposed to be about fun. Even travel, even AU, even, you know, junior high, I mean, mm-hmm. this is still really developmental, and it's supposed to be fun for the kids.
So you're talking
to
about
to ruin it for a kid.
Yeah.
For really any reason, there's really not much of an excuse for that.
Yeah, and I love the theory that you are professing. You don't want to turn off anybody who's into sports. Now let's turn it into practicality, though, Mark. A competitive public school junior high. So you're saying 40 kids try out for the team?
They
guys,
make three teams.
We're going to split up into four even teams, or we're going to play. Who do you schedule?
If you were a principal of a junior high school, or an athletic director, if they have such a thing, or a gym teacher, if you're a good one, you're not thinking so much about that it's more important to perhaps win the junior high gold medal or the junior high league rather than to really destroy some little kids.
No, but Mark, I mean, I think I think, and this is somewhat obvious, I think, to people, it's a matter of resources. I mean,
No, never.
I don't think it's a sport.
They all have a field.
So you can make four teams if you get, and I know for a fact basketball is the most popular, most widely attended tryout. If you get 60 kids that come out to try out for a boys or girls seventh grade basketball, your suggestion is to make four teams, four sets of two coaches, four bus schedules, four sets of uniforms, and I mean, that's just, I don't think that's practical. In fact, it is done in some
places they do it, some they don't.
I've never heard of that done. But you're right, they may do it some places. I mean,
well, what do you think is a better solution? I mean, in other words, your elite team that you would have by cutting everybody, you're still going to have that.
I understand. I don't think the logistics lend itself. I don't think it's practical to set up four different schedules and get eight coaches on staff and to get four sets of uniforms. Yes, it may happen some places, but you're talking about resources and money. Now, I'm not familiar with that.
No, if you think about it, the money is actually, it puts more people to work. It gives the more teachers an up. For instance, if they compete over who's going to coach the basketball team, now you have two basketball coaches, and one's more of a developmental team than the other. But it's, you know, the one issue you could be correct about is if that gym at that school is used 100% of the time, and, you know, in spite of what people say, if you walk into a school, there are times when the gyms are not being used, you know, you absolutely can do it. And by the way, when they do that, they typically, in terms of resources, what they typically do is, you'll take, for instance, we do this in our football, you'll take the A team and the B team, but they'll practice on the same court or on the same field and even with the same coaches, and really only for games do you have to double up on the use of resources.
How about this for a theory? And I love what you're saying, Northbrook, Mark. Anything, to be honest with you, any way that you can avoid the I made the team and I didn't and the didn'ts get crushed and 75% of them give up on the sport, I'm right with you. So I'm all for that concept. There was a school district, and I won't name them, but it was very good. They had a school team. But the kids that didn't make the school team, it wasn't Park District. They didn't call it intramurals. They called it four team league. And what it was after school at the school, they would have four teachers coach the four teams.
Yeah, that's a good one too. And the fellow students
would come watch. They'd practice, Danny, once a week. They'd play a game in the school's gym. They called it four team league. And it was, you know, it wasn't the elite school team, but it was a competitive team. They got to play in school with their fellow students watching.
Yeah, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out a way to do something with the kids that can't make, you know, can't be the very best at a certain sport.
It doesn't take a genius
to find something for them to do.
There's very few rocket scientists in youth sports, guys. Guys like you and me, Mark, and Danny, we love the game, but very few of us are chemistry majors, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that could be true.
You know what I say though? I hope I don't offend any academicians out there. The world, Mark, is full of educated derelicts.
Yeah, you know what's something that's amazing, and maybe you guys will help to fix this with your radio show, or you're making an effort. Is that if you think about it, a lot of people are very wise and affluent, and have a lot of resources, and they spend a lot of time and energy trying to figure out what kind of car to buy or how to buy their house, and they do due diligence on all kinds of things. And then when it comes to their kids, spending at times the lion's share of their time with coaches that are more like mentors, are going to be spending all this time with their kids, and they really just, you know, they just sign up. They don't know the choices. They don't know good from bad. They just kind of sign them up and hope.
Mm-hmm.
And at times that can be a recipe for a disaster. And I was always hoping, and maybe I'll do something one day, but there should be some kind of a resource for people to compare and contrast, you know, youth sports opportunities, because there are many of them. And unfortunately, as you know, I mean, there are some real turkeys out there.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
That can damage the kids. And
I like the concept. Maybe something we can develop right here in the youth sports fan forum. Mark, great stuff as always. We appreciate your checking in.
Sure. Good luck, guys.
All right. Northbrook, Mark, some solid advice there. And, if the theory could be put to practice, I love the concept.
I hear him on what he's thinking, but I just don't think it's in actuality.
You know what?
You can get a house league on an intramural league, but you can't to have four teams that all get the same advantage, all get to go on a bus to play away games, all get the nice uniforms.
You're thinking of all the reasons it can't be done.
That's
true.
But
we both agree that the other way would be better. So instead of thinking the reasons it can't, if you think you can, if you think you can't, either way you're going to be correct. So let's think outside the box. I like the way Northbrook Mark is going. Let's find ways to avoid the 12 guys that made the team and the 40 kids that didn't. And you know what? Most of those 12 kids that made the team, those kids are already some of the most popular kids, some of the socially acceptable kids.
Sure.
Their egos are already doing good.
Right. They've got
the kids that make the team, they're the ones that need to be boosted down a little bit. So we're boosting up those that don't need be, and we're squishing down some of the others that don't.
No, I hear you. It's an ideal situation.
888-463-6748. Producer extraordinaire, my bodyguard, David Olson. Brand new show, the Youth Sports Fan Forum, each and every Thursday. If you're listening, we would appreciate it. Pass the word on to people that might be involved in the program. Danny, we have a fan page on Facebook. I'm still working out the whole Facebook thing, but people can go to it.
Yeah, it's probably Facebook.com, and then go to the, just type in a Youth Sports Fan Forum. You could become a fan of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, hear different things that are happening. We're here every Thursday, 11 to 12 Central Time in the morning, 888-463-6748. You can email the show at ysfanforum@aol.com.
By the way, how much time we got left? I got enough time. I've got to call out Hunter Judson. Now, Hunter Judson, Danny, I haven't seen this kid since like fifth grade, so it's probably been 40-some years. Hunter Judson, if you're out there listening, you've got this coming to you. And I still remember, now back in my day, there was only the very skeletal bones of youth sports. I mean, it really wasn't very organized, especially in our community. We played a youth, it wasn't even a league. It was like maybe three or four dads that put teams together. I don't know how they picked the teams, but they clearly didn't make even teams. I can remember that. And I was on maybe, and this is no exaggeration, one of the worst Little League teams ever assembled. I still remember our team. It's called the Red Barons. I still see a couple of guys. Not regularly, but I'll run into them maybe once every couple of months. From the Red Barons baseball team, and we still talk about it. I mean, brutal. Brutal. But I was the starting pitcher at the beginning of the season.
The ace.
Starting pitcher. Yeah, we're probably about 11 years old at the time. I'm feeling pretty good. Tall lefty out there, starting pitcher. And I remember I was so nervous in my first ever Little League game. And again, you got to go back. This is 40-some years ago. I'm 53 years old. So, you know, we didn't grow up with the whole youth sports thing. So just to put on whatever uniform we had and actually play in an organized game with parents watching, we just played the playground. This was a whole new experience. I still remember to this day being so nervous, and I knew the other team had all the jocks on it. I don't know how they split the teams up, but our team was brutal. Their team was great. And I'm out on the mound, starting pitcher for our team, thinking maybe this could be the start of a baseball career. And I'll never forget the first batter. I got him to pop up the second base. I'm thinking, yeah, good start. High fly ball. Hunter Judson play at second base. Pop up to Hunter Judson. Routine fly ball. Boom. In his glove, on the ground, dropped the pop up. I proceeded to give up like six more runs, get absolutely shelled in the first inning. It was the end of my baseball career. I quickly worked myself down from starting pitcher to number two. Middle of the season, I was middle relief by the end of the year, late bullpen. And actually, by the end of the season, I think I was first base only. But I always say that if Hunter Judson would have caught that ball, if I would have got the first out, who knows what turn my baseball
that's
career
part
gone.
Of the game. He made an error. I mean, it happens.
You had me and then you lost me.
Not on my first pitch of my pitching
All
career.
Right.
Sometimes one little thing like that could change it. You're probably right. The second batter probably would have shelled it.
No, I don't know what would have happened, but it's an error. I mean, you got to have confidence in your defense.
Don't take it so literal. I'm kidding, of course. Hunter Judson, if you're out there, you're still a bro. You can still call in at 888-463-6748. I still remember in the first game, Dean Huge. I still remember these guys. Dean Huge, because the only guy who got a hit. So he's getting on us after the game bragging because of his one hit. You know how many hits he had the rest of the season?
How many? None?
There you go. Zero.
How about that?
Along with the rest of the team. The Red Barons. Moment of silence. May they rest in peace. That's long enough. Thank you very much. All right, we got to wrap this show up, Danny. Thank you so much for coming in. I much, much appreciate it. Hopefully we'll get you back in for some more Youth Sport Fan Forum shows. You did a great job.
Appreciate it. It's a great topic, and I think, you know, it's worthwhile to be talking about something like this.
Mm-hmm. We got to build from here. Anybody out there listening, pass the word on. Again, our fan page on Facebook, Youth Sports Fan Forum, Facebook.com. David Olson, our producer, we much, much appreciate it. We'll be back with you next Thursday, 11 o'clock Central Time. Different issues each week, but all having a deal with the youth, the wonderful world of youth sports. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you next Thursday for the TalkZone.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be right back.